Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's afternoons with It's the MFers.
You ain't playing hard enough. 22 ain't enough to get you to the next level. You want to be great or you want to be good? If you want to be good, keep getting 22 points. You want to be great? Give me 28. Give me 30.
And B will take the three. No kidding around on the part of Joel Embiid.
Hey, Bob, shut up!
Al Horford honoring that long-standing tradition of not playing in the first game back after you've been traded by the Celtics.
I think the scout is looking at it. They're doing a feature on me. It's not my responsibility to tell them what they can do or what they can't do with the camera position.
Because your organization is about to pay the price.
I feel like Lou, at that point of the program, had gotten to the point where he had run out of energy and said, everybody gets up now. There is no way that falls to the scout.
For all the talk about the weapons around Tom Brady, if we don't play better as an offensive line, nothing will matter.
What do you want me to do?
They're held under 30 points Sunday against the Bengals. It'll be the seventh straight game for them that happens.
The whole team about to figure it out. We ice cold, that's what winning we're about.
All right.
Right now.
We played the Patriots.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Get you through a Cincinnati week. How about that?
That was the easiest week. Actually, probably not the easiest week. We've had some pretty easy ones. It's just, I feel sorry for other cities. They just never, ever have the amount of, we have so much product and content that we provide every other show around the country with content. Every single show, I don't care if it's radio or TV, they lead with what happens 30 miles south of us.
Well, I would say you're correct. Like if, for example, if the owner wasn't arrested in Florida, or if they didn't sign Antonio Brown, or then release Antonio Brown, and if they weren't caught, you know, with cameras and there's still plenty to talk about, right? There's still plenty. Now, it kind of got us through a game. I don't know. You worried at all about Sunday?
No, I'm not.
No concerns?
No, I'm not. I know you took a deep dive into some stats. I took a deep dive into some stats, but no, I'm not. I'm not nervous at all about it.
You're not.
And just to kind of reiterate what you were saying, I do believe that, yeah, they do bear some of the burden. The scout does bear a little bit of the burden.
Oh, we'll get to Tommy Curran.
I said 1% yesterday.
You were awful quiet yesterday. I'm over here screaming and yelling at Ordway the whole time. He's telling me that I don't live in a real world.
I said that
you
also.
You were tiny. You were like,
No.
I'll let them argue.
No,
I don't want to chime in. I said it also. Wake up today. Now you're telling me
No.
Tommy Curran didn't agree.
Well, Curran's coming at my boy. I got to protect you. You can't find him on your own. I do believe you should have some, you know, self-awareness of what's going on.
Yes.
Just your surroundings, but I don't even come close to putting as much blame on it as you do.
Well, I never put a percentage. I just tried to say openly that I thought that he deserved some blame. I thought that part of his job description should have been that.
And I don't even know if
and
blame
that turned
would
into
be...
like as it went on. You know how it is. Sometimes when you argue something, if I was to say 5-10% of the blame, the more you argue, the more you defend your point, it sounds like I'm putting the whole freaking thing on it, which I'm not. But I do think there's some there.
I wouldn't even say blame. I would just say that should have been the last line of defense, that you have a veteran scout that has been around for a long period of time and that would have the ability to recognize a bad situation. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's all I was saying.
So I'm not... So you're not worried about this Cincinnati team? Because I was looking at it, and we know they're not a good team. There's a couple things that would concern me. You know, number one, it's more Patriots related. It's kind of like we always talk about where they're at, right? That's probably the biggest concern. Where this team is at, what they're going to look like offensive. I think defensively they're going to look good. However, you know, Joe Mixon is running the ball real well for them lately. So, I mean, if there's a weakness, it's the running game, so it'll be a good test for them. For a 1-12 team, I was looking at, they really would have been blown out like in two or three games. You know, I mean, they play an NFL schedule. So
they lost to Seattle by one.
They only play a few tough games. But, I mean, you know, they're not getting embarrassed by anybody. Lost to eight. But to Cleveland. They lost to Pittsburgh by six.
And remember,
Oakland
they
by
did.
Seven.
And they benched Andy Dalton for a short period of time to try and get a spark.
Early
that
in the year,
didn't
they lost
work.
To the Ravens by six. The Dalton's back in.
That's
so
amazing.
They're a 1-12 bad team. But again, we don't really care about the Bengals, do we?
No.
I mean, it's really more about the New England Patriots and what they're going to look like.
No,
so what are they going to look like?
You know, so no, I think that they're offensively. Now, everyone's been trying to say, okay, this is the week the offense gets together. This is the week the offense turns around. This is because the defense has not had any problems other than the Baltimore Ravens. I felt like basically they've played awesome throughout the entire year. They had one game that really tripped them up. Otherwise, I'd say they've been playing spectacular. So it's been the offense that has been the problem. So earlier today, as I'm doing my due diligence and
do
doing
it.
My work, I always make sure I pay attention to the friends of the show. And I heard Mike Reese on our favorite show, Get Up or Get Down.
Yeah.
And he dropped this stat that you actually heard in the open.
The first thing I heard when I walked in the locker room this week after that game last week was from an offensive lineman who said, that performance was on us. We have to be better. For all the talk about the weapons around Tom Brady, if we don't play better as an offensive line, nothing will matter. Greeny, if they're held under 30 points Sunday against the Bengals, it'll be the seventh straight game for them that happens. And according to our great ESPN stats and information department, that would match the longest streak in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era going back to 2005. But I will add this. I walked out of the locker room with Tom Brady a couple days ago, and Greeny, he's staying upbeat despite these struggles. Come on, get up.
So
less
okay.
than 30 points.
So
seven straight.
So
weeks.
That stood out to me. They,
six so far.
They can't score points.
No,
they're terrible at it. Yeah, no, we knew that, but it was funny when you're actually saying, God, it's been that long, that many consecutive games in a row where they haven't reached the.
Chris, you know what? It would actually be longer if the defense didn't score points.
Well, okay, but you can't. Okay, I guess you can do that if you want to. It just points that the offense scored. That's a different stats and information. ESPN
well, no,
I
agree because they put up the last most they've scored recently has been 27. That's when this thing started, this run of six against Cleveland. And we all know that there were points given there, right? Mayfield just sort of flicked it to the lineman with scoring touchdowns. The one before that was 33 against the Jets. We know what happened in that game as well. So, I mean, you could argue that really this isn't a six-game stretch offensively. It's something we haven't seen.
Yeah, but the point is that they're not – I think the offense is terrible. But it's not because they don't have opportunities. They have tons of opportunities. They have tons of chances to score when it matters most. So I went. So I went and looked at just how many. Because if you can't score points, it's probably because you can't finish. Because I feel like they're driving the ball. I always felt like they were moving the ball, but they always stalled. They either punted or they kicked a field goal, or they just flat out just couldn't get it done and gave it up on downs.
Yep.
So I went and looked at some stats that I thought were important. So first, I wanted to see how many red zone attempts per game they have. First of all, like where do they rank in the entire NFL? How many opportunities, how many red zone opportunities, attempts do they have per game? Well, okay, they're second in the league.
In
they're
attempts?
Second in the league in red. The most they have the second most red zone attempts per game in the league. You want to know who number one is? It's pretty easy. You saw him last night.
But Baltimore.
Baltimore is number one. In contrast,
yeah, where are they in the red zone?
Okay, well, hold on. Okay, hold on. So they have the second most attempts.
I got a lot of questions with
they have the second most attempts.
Yep.
Which shows me that they're getting opportunities. The offense is moving the ball.
Does
okay.
It?
However, yet they are 27th in the NFL in red zone scoring percentage. So they score when they do get down, it's only 48%. It's less than half of the time.
Yeah.
They actually now these are just touchdowns. These do not include field goals, just touchdowns. 48% scoring percentage. Baltimore, what do you think Baltimore is?
First or second?
Well, they're second at 68%. So not only does Baltimore get down there a lot, but they convert those chances into touchdowns, not field goals, touchdowns. And just to add another team in there, Tennessee is number one.
In red zone?
In the red zone percentage. They're at a 73%. So when they don't get down there as much. They're middle of the road as far as getting their chances. But when they get down there, what can they do good? They're all about running the football and play action. Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis, play action pass. That is why they are so good. Now, Baltimore is an anomaly, but they're good at everything right now.
Let me go back to one of those stats. That they have the second most opportunities. And you said they're showing they move the football. You sure about that? Or is that the defense giving the ball at the 18-yard line?
Well, that would
the defense
be
defense giving the ball on the 15-yard line, the 10-yard line. You know what I mean? Like, so, or even the 35-yard line, or 30, and they get one first down, they're in the red zone. It's a red zone attempt. So just because they got the second most attempts in the red zone doesn't mean they're moving the football.
Well, I would agree with you on that.
After watching them this year, I think a lot of that has to do with the defense.
Well, then, did anyone break that number down? I didn't break that number down. So what you want to know is how many of those attempts, how many of those are non-defense or fumble related?
Right.
So things. So it would have to be a punt. It would have to be a kickoff return where they get the ball at the 25 or the 30. It would have to be after a punt. But it couldn't be off a defensive turnover. Because they have had, listen, you're right. They've had a ton of opportunities last week where they scored off a fumble or interception, and they were automatically on the other side of the 50.
Well, Dallas, right? You had a couple of them. You know, one of them, you got a field goal, and the other one was one pass to N'Keal Harry, touchdown. So, I mean, the defense, that most of the time when you say, look at all the opportunities they have in the red zone, that tells you a team is moving the football and can't finish. I don't think that's how I would define this Patriots offense. Able to move the football, but can't finish. I would say struggling to move the football, also struggling to finish. However, the defense puts them in some pretty good spots.
Well, and that's even worse because they're just gifting this to you. They're gifting this opportunity to you, and they're giving you just great opportunity, great field position, and you're squandering it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing all this work, and they're just saying, can you just put the cherry on top, and you can't do it. You can't run the football. You can't run play action. Your quarterback can't go outside the pocket. To me, that paints a worse picture because I do think they are moving the ball on their own. Not as good as most teams, but they do it. They did it the first series last week. They did it. Two penalties that helped them, and they needed a double pass for them to actually get a touchdown. But I don't know if that would technically count that as red zone, but they did move the football. The fact is they don't have the ability to finish. Period.
They don't.
They don't have it.
Not right now. All right, listen, no Ordway today. You got the MFers here on a Friday getting you ready for the weekend. There's a lot to get to. Mike Lombardi's going to join us at 4 o'clock like he usually does every single week. Both teams, Celtics, Bruins, they lose back-to-back nights. So you got Tim Thomas sound that I think we want to play. And obviously, Dan Shaughnessy wrote some article in the Red Sox that I want to pound for a little bit too as well. So
I think I'm gonna call this the question of the week.
What is it? The question of the week?
But yeah, I just added a new segment.
You did?
I just added it just now based on our conversation yesterday and today.
Right,
that's the question of the century.
Well, I have a question for you when we come back.
Okay, good.
I want to know from you
All right. If
the next 3 weeks can change your opinion of this offense.
Okay.
We'll get to that when we come back right after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back to more of Ordway, Marloney, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Considering what the standard of performance is up there in New England typically, they're still there. And they still have the greatest coach and the greatest winning quarterback of all time. So you can never count this team out. I don't care how ugly it looks.
And a great defense.
That's right. And no matter how ugly it looks, don't count them out.
Your brain doesn't want to do it. Like, you can't, right. You can't function.
And nor should it.
Yeah.
Because they'll make you look silly. I'm telling you, both of those games, they had their chances. They weren't just blown out where you just go, they stink.
Right.
They were right there.
That was Lewis Reddick on ESPN talking about the New England Patriots, two games he's referencing. He was talking about Baltimore. He referenced a couple bad turnovers. Obviously, the Edelman one. I still go back and say, well,
Cyrus Jones.
I mean,
and Mark Ingram fumbled it. But even though the Patriots forced that fumble, and that's what they do.
Right.
The Cyrus Jones one, I'll give you. That was just right. He just kind of bobbled it.
He doesn't fumble. They go down and make it 20-0, 24-0.
Yeah, but I hear what he's saying. Like, I didn't feel. I think
Kansas
the
City
score,
game. He's talking about the N'Keal Harry touchdown that was taken away.
Yeah, the score of that game made it seem like they just couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, they had multiple opportunities. The fact is that it just that offense of the Baltimore Ravens kept coming up with big play after big play, and they didn't. So and they kept waiting for them to screw up and drop a pass on third down or to have a tackle for a loss, not even a turnover, but they couldn't get them off the field. They're one of the best third down teams in the NFL. One of the best red zone teams
in the NFL.
So, of course.
You're watching that game last night, right? Of course, like the Lamar Jackson show continues. And you see them get down to like the 5 or the 7. And my first thought is they can score any way they want.
Action Jackson.
Any way they want from like the 5. Anyway, I mean, you can just give it to Ingram 2 or 3 times. He's getting in. You can do the RPO. He can keep it himself. Lamar, he can run to the cone. He'll race somebody to there for the touchdown. Oh, everyone's sitting there saying, we got to go all in a run. You know, they RPO, you fake it, play action to Andrews or anyone.
Yeah.
Because they're all wide open because everyone is just so concerned about the run. That offense in the red zone, to me, seems like it's unstoppable. Now, the Patriots, on the other hand, they like first and goal from the 5. I don't know how they're going to get in.
They don't get in.
You know, that's what I mean. So, and by the way, another thing, Cincinnati, number 2 defense in the NFL in red zone defense. So there is a little bit of
a game within the game.
Yeah, there is. You know, Mixon's running the ball real well. For a 1-12 team, they don't get blown out. Red zone defense is second in the league. It's a weak spot of the Patriots. We'll see if this game could be interesting or not. But I asked you a question before the break. Can this offense change your opinion? Now, again, I've turned into a Patriot green team.
Yeah, you are. You see the brighter side of everything.
Now, because I'm accepted to who this team is. I don't think they have enough. But I will admit this. What we've seen the last 4 or 5 weeks, I wonder if it is a situation of bad timing trying to implement guys like Harry and Sanu.
See, hold on. Before you go, see, this is what green teamers do.
Yeah.
Green teamers invent excuses for their team.
Well, I'm officially
a green
teamer.
So now what you're doing is you're inventing.
Yeah.
You're inventing an excuse for the Patriots.
But let me ask
you. So go ahead. So you're saying that because when all these guys are coming back, they're in the meat of their schedule with a lot of challenging teams, and Josh McDaniels didn't have the time or the energy,
wasn't
willing to take the risk of those guys screwing up. So he said, "We got to do it without you."
Yes, or the want. You know, you walk into Baltimore and you say,
"Well, technically, that's technically what happened."
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you walk into Baltimore and it's like, "Okay, N'Keal Harry, game 1. Sanu, game 2." Sanu had 10 catches in that game.
Yeah.
So N'Keal Harry.
So he played well.
Right. So then it turned into the bye week, and it was like, okay, you know, we got to get these guys implemented, but it's a big game
at
Philly.
So what happened? We just lost
in Baltimore. We win that game. It's a big game in Dallas. They need it. We need it. We're at Houston, home against Kansas City. This is why during that stretch, I was like, I don't think anything's going to change.
It's camouflage.
Until you got through this stretch.
Smoke screen.
So can they sit there and say, okay, you're already hearing it now. You called it, by the way, too, N'Keal Harry. Josh saying, I got to get him more involved. He will be more involved than Cincy. So can the offense look a little bit better against Cincy? Can it impress you against Buffalo? Can it look really good against Miami to the point you're sitting there to buy a week going, huh?
No. See, first of all, just to kind of break down your point of view there. So was it Josh McDaniels? Josh McDaniels gave N'Keal Harry opportunities.
And Brady.
He got pulled out. He got pulled out because he couldn't run a slant.
Josh, right now is not the time.
He made one big catch, his first touchdown. Then he dropped the next 3 catches in the rain. So the next game, he goes out there. He runs a slant route, gets bullied, gets pushed around, gives up the interception. That was his fault on that interception. And they said, we can't chance it anymore. So they pulled him out. So they wanted him. Why is everybody else progressing but not him?
Well, no, I'm just saying, if Tom's just like, listen, we're in a stretch right now. We can't afford this.
If he showed
in this stretch,
any,
we can't afford this. Get him out of the game. No. That's what I'm saying. We can't afford it. Get him out. Let's get through this stretch. We got to win games right now. No, they're through that stretch. Now, I'm not saying they're looking at Cincinnati, saying Arizi, but we can get them implemented. We can start to have a look at what this offense could be now.
How about this? No gadget plays. They don't need gadget plays. Cincinnati does have some name players like Geno Atkins, but he's not nearly the guy he was. I mean, at one point in time, he was basically Sam Darnold before Sam Darnold came around, but that's not him anymore. I do think that they're going to have multiple opportunities, the offenses, multiple opportunities. The Cincinnati Bengals, they're one of the worst third down teams in the NFL. So they have a hard time staying on the field, and the Patriots are one of the best, like flat out one of the best. Like opponents are converting 22% of the third down opportunities. So I don't see that changing at all, even though I love Andy Dalton. But I don't think that's it. So will it change? So you got Cincinnati. This is basically your get back on track game. You're going to feel really good about yourself. Then you got the Buffalo Bills on a Saturday, they're good. Their defense is just as good as yours. Offensively, whatever, you can have it. He's going to throw you five picks again. He'll be the reason why they lose that game.
That's obviously the final test.
But I don't think they move the ball. I think that would be the ultimate test. Hey, if you want to see if the offense has actually made any progress whatsoever that would lead you to believe that they are at least competent, I would say it would be at home against Buffalo.
I would say that last year, we always talk about you gave up on them after Pittsburgh. Yeah, I think a lot of people looked at them and said, it's not their year. All right, after losing to them, and the way they lost to Miami, more importantly, the way you rebounded the next week at Pittsburgh against a team you always dominate, penalties, it was just like, wow, sloppy game. After losing the way you did in Miami, I don't think anybody would have guessed that, and it was. Maybe the biggest mistake is, and I remember talking about this at the end of the year, was not taking those last two games serious. Because, the Patriots came out afterwards, and Brady and all the offensively, we found something in those last two games against Buffalo and New York Jets, two teams that sucked. And we sat there and said, whatever, dude. It was great. You found him against Buffalo and the Jets. Like this year, all great. You found it against Cincy. You found it against Miami the last game of the year. So we disregarded that because those teams were bad.
You disregarded that. I didn't disregard
that. Okay. Okay. But I think the people that didn't believe in him.
There you go.
Disregarded those last two games and said it was just Buffalo and New York. Meant absolutely nothing. But they'll go back after that Super Bowl win and they'll talk about those last two regular season games against bad teams about how they found them. They ran for 244 yards. I think it was against 273 against Buffalo, and then 131 against the Jets the following week in a blowout, so they just sort of stopped. But we disregarded that. So I'm wondering, the next 3 weeks, should we, if they turn on? What if they look good against Buffalo?
Buffalo would be I don't know if I still don't know if I'd buy into it. I don't know if I'd buy into it at that point in time. That's going to be a pride game for Buffalo.
What if it is Sanu's ankle? I'm playing a big what-if game because, from what we've seen, we look at it and say, no, it ain't going to change. But get your playmaking guy in there, N'Keal Harry. Take the good with the bad. Figure that thing out. He's the only one that's making plays, individual plays. Maybe it is Sanu's ankle.
Other than Edelman.
I don't know. Edelman's a given. He's going to make his plays. What if Sanu is hurt? Guy had a high ankle sprain. He missed 1 week. Maybe he should have missed three. But they couldn't afford it. I need you out there. Because, we got young kids out here
now. He did miss a game.
One. High ankle sprain. How many games people usually use with high ankle sprains?
Listen, I don't know what severity is. He's out there. I think it's less about his injury and it's more about the fact that he doesn't know what he's doing. That's what I think.
But you didn't know what he was doing in Baltimore when he had 10 catches?
Right, listen, a blind squirrel can find the occasional acorn, okay? Keep running it out, keep running it out. He ran the same route. It was all hurry-up offense, so it was easy. It was easy for him. Now you start getting into more complicated situations where they're actually challenging you with more information, and you can't retain it, and you screw it up.
617-779-7937. You guys are lined up right now to talk about, all right, Patriots fans, the next 3 weeks, can the New England Patriots change your opinion about this offense? We'll do that. Come back right after this.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, welcome back to OMF. No Ordway today. Again, 617-779-7937. If I can ever find that remote, I maybe take a call and see which one.
It's always over here.
Why is it over there?
I have no idea.
It's go.
Oh, you know, Keith was driving, and then Danielle was driving this morning.
I'm going to go to Phil up in Maine. Let's do that. Phil, what's up, man? You're on OMF.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up?
Not too much. So, to answer your question, Lou, I do think that the Patriots have enough. I wouldn't say necessarily to win the Super Bowl. They definitely need some luck in that case, and that's basically someone finding a way to knock off Baltimore, because I definitely don't think they can match up with them. But again, I don't know how anybody else does either. But the Patriots, they need to get healthy first. They need to get whoever, you know, these receivers to kind of buck up a little bit, get through what their, you know, injuries are. And Tommy's got to accept these new guys, these rookies. He's just got to go with it. You know, they're not going to
hold on, hold on, hold on, Phil, you just can't go with it. Like, I agree with you that he just can't sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to keep throwing you the ball until you prove me wrong. That's, it's too risky. It's too dangerous. So,
no, I get that.
So, and then the injury situation on offense, you really only got one guy that's banged up now, and that's Edelman. And so, other than that, everybody is healthy, other than the guys that are on IR, and those guys aren't coming back. So
the next 3 weeks will be important. But the biggest, probably the biggest thing, and I don't know how you guys see it, but I think Josh McDaniels has not been very good at play calling this year, putting people in scenarios to be successful, especially the last game. You know, I talked about it with you guys before, with Edelman being the guy to throw to at the end of the game when that guy's banged up and everything else, you know. It's just a crazy...
Well, Phil, I would say this. Thanks for the call. I was actually... I was impressed with Josh McDaniels in that last game.
Me too.
I mean, think about what they did. I mean, they scored in the jet sweep. Yeah. They should have scored on another little flip pass, right?
And got they threw Nikhil a flea Harry. Flicker. They threw
flea
a double
flicker,
pass.
Double pass. I mean, he would sit
they
there
and... They emptied the clip.
They, so I don't know how you wouldn't be impressed with that. But as far as getting...
And hold on, sorry. And they gave Nikhil Harry the ball one play. Right. Okay, he had two plays total. But the first time he touched the ball was a touchdown non-call.
Yeah.
So I think
that's the criticism I have, is it just watching that one play is, how do you not get this guy more involved in the last 3 or 4 weeks? And I know the play calling, but you can be creative. You talked about it. Dummy routes. You know, just do this. No adjustments. Just do this.
The route that he scored a touchdown on that they didn't give it to
him,
that was a call it and run and play. It doesn't convert to anything. If he doesn't get the ball, they throw it in the dirt or throw it away.
All right, Josh McDaniels, actually, I think he talked about this yesterday as far as the kids. Wednesday it was.
It's definitely a different game. I mean, in every way, shape, or form. So there's a lot of things that they they didn't have to deal with. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys in our league that, you know, they're going to get up and make things tough on you no matter what. You know, college football, sometimes you don't see that much. And but, you know, coverage variations, adjustments, you know, every team has to go through that with their players. But the bottom line is they both have good skill sets. The things that they can do, we like. And I got to find more ways to use the things that they do well, so that they can help produce more in their own roles. And that's what my job is with every player on the offense, and I need to do a better job of that.
All right, it's Josh McDaniels talking about Nikhil Harry and Jacoby Myers. Now, one little update here is from Mike Giardi, just tweeted out moments ago. Julian Edelman will not be made available to the media today, meaning he will not have spoken to us since prior to the Chiefs game.
Hey, keep the guys on it now!
Edelman missed Wednesday's practice, was limited yesterday with a shoulder and knee issues. I would also add to that tweet that he wasn't on with Greg Hill this morning either.
No.
So it's just silence from Julian Edelman, who I think Tommy Curran talked about earlier in the week about how if you see him, he's got this like growth thing coming out of his left shoulder.
Yeah, it's your AC joint.
AC joint is ballooned up.
Yeah.
So
if you dislocate it, if it pops out, it usually doesn't. I've had four surgeries, two on each shoulder.
So we haven't seen injury report yet today. We haven't heard anything about practice yet today. I don't believe, but maybe limited again for Edelman. So there's a concern there, but, you know, getting back to Josh McDaniels talking about getting Nikhil Harry involved. I read this quote to you during the break, and I want to read it again and get your reaction
on the air.
Okay? This was in Mike Reese's article, Patriots plan to get Nikhil Harry more involved in the offense. This is Philip Dorsett. The very last paragraph talking about Nikhil Harry. He says he's a big special guy, he can make plays with the ball in his hands. I think that play gave him a lot of confidence, talking about the one last Sunday. But then he went on to say this, quote, "He can be really good. He just has to hone in and learn how to be a pro. It's something every rookie has to learn. It's tough. This isn't college anymore.
Oh,
it's an everyday grind. This is your job now. You're not going to school anymore. This is what you do for a living. Once he learns that, he's definitely learning it. The sky is the limit.
Oh boy.
Oh my God. Well, I knew that he was I knew he had this in him. But every sentence, there's a message there.
So this isn't college anymore.
Bam.
It's an everyday grind. This is your job now. You're not going to school anymore. This is what you do for a living.
He's not getting it. Yeah. So basically, hey, you don't have to divide your time. Like, your sole purpose in life is to learn this playbook. That's it.
Yeah.
To figure out what you need to do to work on your craft. You don't have anything else to do. It's a job full time now. So there should be no excuses. Yeah.
Figure it out.
You shouldn't make mistakes anymore. You have all the time. So you making a mental mistake is because you're not trying. You're not putting the work in. You're going home and playing Nintendo. You're going home and watching Netflix. Or who the hell knows? So
you're in the weight room doing curls instead of watching film.
Thank you very much for that. Just doing curls and thinking about how big your guns are.
Right.
He's so dopey. So I don't know. Like, guys like this.
But this is consistent with stuff that you had heard.
Yes. Stuff is consistent with what I have heard 100%. The guy just doesn't get it. Now, does he not get the playbook? Partly because it's difficult for any rookie. I get it. So more reps, the better he'll get at it. But he just doesn't know how to learn, how to educate himself. He doesn't know how to be efficient with his time. Because if you make a mental mistake over and over again, whose fault is it after the third freaking time? And the coach is trying to teach you three different ways. You keep making the mistake. That's why I call him a coach killer. You're talented. You're big. You're strong. Hell, I know this guy's telling you what to do, but maybe he's doing a bad job because he can't get it through to you. Or maybe you're just you don't give a crap, or you just don't know. You just don't know yet. So if he keeps failing and he keeps finding himself on the bench, you would hope that he would figure it out. Like, hey, I can't screw up.
All right, let's get back to the calls. I want to go to Peter in the Cape. Take care of this guy real quick. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, listen. Were you listening last night to Mutt?
On my ride home, yes. But then I enjoyed my family.
Oh, you're a lucky man.
Yep.
He jumped all over me when I brought up the scout. And my point was, I was trying to get to the point where the crew that was there.
You're talking about filming. The Cincinnati videotaping, the scout discussion yesterday. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. The point I was trying to get to, and I couldn't even get to it because Cullen just jumped all over me, saying it wasn't the scout's fault. Well, my point was, I was trying to get to was, the crew, was that their first time there? Maybe they had no idea what was going on with the filming.
I believe it was, yes.
That could weigh in Pat's favor. I mean, as far as them not knowing anything about, the past history.
Well, right? I wouldn't go, definitely the third-party cameraman, but the producer for Kraft Sports was in charge of filming.
Yeah.
Should kind of know what he can and can't film.
Yeah, I know thanks, Peter. Tom E. Kern was on there also, and he didn't like it either.
I feel like Lou at that point of the program had gotten to the point where he had run out of energy and said, everybody get some now. There is no way that falls to the scout
zero
in any way, shape, or form.
The analogy I made last night, guys, is imagine this. Hold on, Peter. And here's why. Imagine there's a couple of plays missing in the work. He's got to present his work to the coaching staff in Belichick. And it's like, oh, you know what? I was helping out Kraft Productions for a couple minutes. They were doing something they shouldn't have been doing. And you know what, Bill? I missed a player,
too. I mean, how long does it say?
My bad. Come on.
But how long does it say, hey, you can't film that? A, if he noticed it.
He's not looking at that.
It was in his peripheral vision. The way that they were taping it. I know that Jeff Howe had a story in The Athletic. The recitation of facts that I got, it was over his shoulder in his peripheral vision. They were filming from behind him.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Howe reported in the front. But that's not his job.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I still give you, I'll give you 5%.
Okay, so basically my thing yesterday was that I put some blame on the scout, who after they did the little thing with him pregame and they went to their spot and did their filming, he's in the third row, they're down there in the front somewhere, that, you could look up at some point and say, whoa, 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 maybe contact the producer or go down there yourself. and say, hey, you know, as we talked about and when you interviewed me, I can do this with binoculars and notes, but I can't videotape it. So I don't know what you're videotaping. Make sure you're not videotaping the sideline. I don't think that's too much to ask. And to Mutt's point of, oh, maybe he missed a couple plays. All right, you ever watch a game on TV, Mutt? Do you have time to go to the bathroom?
Dumb and entertaining is better than smart.
You press pause.
You have time. Patriots score a touchdown. They kick the extra point. Okay, play's over, right? How long is a commercial? 3.5 minutes? How long are commercial breaks? 3 minutes?
Sure.
Two and a half minutes?
Good. Seven!
It takes about 45 seconds to get up your chair, walk down 3 flights of stairs, walk 50 feet to your left, and walk up to the guy and say, hey, don't film the sideline. Just want to let you know. Go back up. You don't miss a damn play.
Yeah, I saw you guys kind of point the camera in that direction. I don't know if you know about the history of what's gone on here.
But it's my ass if something happens.
Yeah, let's not embarrass the organization, okay? Just don't point the camera at the damn sideline, mm-hmm. No matter what.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go to Russ in Connecticut. Russ, right. Go ahead, pal. You're on with the OMF.
Russ.
Hey, gentlemen.
What's up, Russ?
I have a question for Christian.
All right.
And my concern is the running game to help the offense, okay? We've got a 53-man roster there, okay? That roster is full of gentlemen that played football all their lives. Can we get somebody to play fullback, and I don't care if it's a two-way player or whatever, to open up the running game?
You do. They use the Landon Roberts. He's a linebacker. They use the Landon Roberts. That's who they've been using. He's been out there. Yeah,
he's been out there a lot, Russ.
And other right. Listen, he's okay. He's not great. I mean, that's it. That's about as good as it gets. Hey, go run into that guy and just hopefully there's a stalemate. That's all they do.
All right, let's go back. I want to go back to Neil in Boston. Neil, go ahead. You're on with OMF.
Hey, what's going on? The Patriots, they have a totally different offense. They don't do no huddle anymore. They don't do screens anymore. Belichick did that little smash mouth thing to win last year, and he's been stuck on that. Brady's not throwing the ball when he's supposed to. When you think he's going to run anymore, like it's like the whole offense is like different now.
So that's not true. Actually, they ran a ton of screens. That's like all they ran were screens. I think it was Dallas or Philly because they couldn't do anything else. No, it's not. I agree with you. It is. You know,
they're doing a different screen. It's not.
No, they're not. No, they're not. They're doing totally what kind of screen do you want them to run? There's a tailback screen
out near the sideline.
The missile screen. Okay, hold on. That's a missile screen, right? So the receiver takes about 2 steps up. He comes back. The offensive lineman come under him, and he kind of sneaks around him. That's what you're talking about. It's for the receiver.
Throwing it in the middle of the field and throwing it to the side. He's not like doing it the same anymore. They're not calling the same plays. They're not doing no huddle anymore. They played games where they had no running back behind Brady for like the whole quarter. They're not doing that stuff anymore.
Did it against
Baltimore. I would say that's not true. They have, but I kind of feel like trying everything out. They'll do one game. I remember it was like screen every other play because they couldn't move the ball. I do think that the outside screens that he was talking about, I think, need to return, and I think they have the guy to do it in N'Keal Harry. Why they don't, I have no freaking clue.
Listen, they did no huddle against Baltimore, and yep. They were successful. We've seen it here and there. It's just, with this offense, the no huddle could just basically create a minute and 15-second drive.
But drop, third down, punt.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's and I know Bill's talked about this before. Josh talked, no huddle, you know, because at times, you seem to be very successful with no huddle in the past. Why not just run it? Well, there's always the flip side. You know, if we, I don't know, 3 incomplete passes, that's a 45-second drive, maybe less.
Yeah, right? And we need to keep them off the field.
I mean,
keep our defense off the field.
Yeah. I mean, they did it with Baltimore after they were trailing a lot, because at that point, it's like, what the hell? Right? What else are we going to be doing here? I'll go to one more call before I take a break real quick. Let's go to Bob in the car. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Lou, in regards to the illegal taping or potential illegal taping of the Cincinnati sidelines,
yeah,
you're 100% right. I don't know what they don't understand. I believe yesterday Glenn said that Belichick had to sign off on this Kraft Sports going with this guy. So if Belichick had to sign off on it, couldn't Belichick have told him, hey, listen, guys, you can film the scout, but you can't film the sidelines? Of course they held
accountable. I'm not so sure Bill had to sign off on that. I don't know if Bill had to sign off on it. I thought Glenn was saying Bill had nothing to do with it.
I thought yesterday Glenn said that Bill had to sign off because the scout was part of the football ops.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just
think that a scout, you know, for any team is notified what he can and can't do. Right? Baseball, I don't really know what that would be these days. I mean, you know, I don't know. But you would know, especially the Patriots in filming, that you should know what you can and can't do. And, you know, everybody represents the New England Patriots organization. And it's his ass if he gets caught or does something illegal, right? So during an interview process, I would think that he would pass that along to somebody with a video camera in an illegal spot. That's all. I'm not putting 100% of the blame on him, but I think in hindsight,
doesn't mean he's
do you think
bad
that
guy
sat there and said, man, I wish I put an end to that. I should have stepped up and said, what are you filming? You don't think someone ahead of him, his boss, sat there and said, man, did you ever think of going over there and remind them that they couldn't film the sidelines?
Yeah, but I know it's easy.
You think that's going
easy,
on now?
It's easy for you to say that now. When
you think he's
wow,
being yeah, told that now?
I'm sure somebody said, hey, did that ever cross your mind? But if he said no, I wouldn't kill him for it. If he said no, I was busy doing my job.
All right, if he said no, the first thing I would say was, okay, well, put that in the back of your mind next time something like
sure.
this happens.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to be reminded, you know, these people every 4, 5, 7, 10 years.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life.
Every time a scout
put that in
goes
the back
out
of your
the road,
freaking mind.
Keep your phone in your pocket.
Yeah, keep it in your mind. All right, listen, no Ordway today. OMF, getting you ready here for the weekend. Pats, Bengals.
We should do Brady next.
Sunday.
You
play
Brady?
Tom Brady spoke today.
Whoa, was he angry.
Very brief. You'll hear from Tom Brady when we come back right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.